State Rep. Julie Alexander back from Cuba. We couldn't get a hold of you. We tried to call you.
You did not. But
shipped ashore.
Nice try, Greg. But no. And yes, of course, I'm back. Busy week here in Jackson and in Lansing. Happy to be here.
Let's talk about your trip. It was really a private trip with some lawmakers and other officials. Talk about the, you know, why you went.
Absolutely. There was a delegation of about 30 individuals from Michigan representing the agriculture industry that were asked if they would like to go to Cuba on this expedition. It was not a taxpayers-funded trip.
You were on your own dime.
We were on our own. And my husband and I decided this was an opportunity we really wanted to take advantage for a variety of reasons.
Once in a lifetime.
Let alone to see Cuba.
Yeah.
With this enclosed, protected group, we traveled together. We felt very comfortable with that piece of it. The individuals that showed us around had been there before and were very knowledgeable. So why did we go to Cuba? Why did I think it was important that I take that time to do that? What we know is, as the House Chair of Agriculture, we know that the ag industry in Michigan is the second most diverse state in the country. We raise and produce over 300 different commodities. The question then becomes, how do we add to our exports and get some of these commodities down to Cuba? How many other states right now are exporting? There are 7 other states that export food to Cuba. So my question to the individuals down there, what do we need to do to become the number 8th state? We need to continue building those relationships, number one. And it is possible. We now understand what some of the challenges are and are currently building those relationships with the individuals there, so we can continue having these conversations to put Michigan's products down in Cuba.
So it's still a communist country. I don't know if it's what it was 25 years ago, but I guess probably trust has got to be the big factor, right?
It is trust, those relationships. There's obviously resentment amongst many people we talk to down there regard Americans. The biggest challenge, though, is the financial piece of it. They don't have the money to pay us for the products they want to buy. It's a very depressed economy in Cuba, and it's all government controlled. So basically, it will take the Cuban government to want to increase the commodities that they are taking from other states. The conversations were good. We understand those challenges. The financial piece is the biggest. But again, other states are making it work, so we'll continue to have those conversations.
How was the weather?
It was very nice. Very, very nice. Beautiful countryside. We spent some time in downtown Havana and old Havana. We're able to better understand the history, see some beautiful old buildings. But then we were out in the countryside many times also, actually visiting farms. When you look at the farms in Cuba, the 80% of the farms in Cuba are owned by the government.
Yeah.
The other 20% are owned by individuals. So let's talk about that. 20% owned by the individuals. The government still tells them what crops they can grow. They give them their input, their fertilizer, their seed. They still control all of that. And after you as an independent farmer raise your crop, you are mandated to give 90% of that crop back to the government. It gave us an
So there's nothing private about it.
No, it gave us the opportunity to really understand what socialist communist governments are about.
Yeah.
It was eye-opening, that's for sure. In some ways, we felt like we were stuck in time. All of the vehicles were, you know, 1950s. There was one point in time we were traveling down the road into the countryside on a motor coach. Very nice, comfortable motor coach we're traveling in. The vehicle traveling on the road right next to us was a horse and cart. And I could see cans of milk in the back that they were carrying. So
How impoverished is it?
Extremely. The average wage of an individual living in Cuba, the state government pays them $30 per month to live. And that's not enough to get by, obviously.
Why the hate for, maybe hate strong, or the dislike for the U.S.?
That's the messaging that they hear. They don't have the opportunity to come to a radio station.
No,
like,
Twitter?
Technology was very minimum there. You did see a few cell phones, individuals with cell phones in their hands, but not many. Not many internet connections. The messaging, the media, the information they have is what their government wants them to have.
And everybody's probably tapped, right?
We were told to expect that as well. So it was... It was just an odd feeling to wonder, you know, is there someone following behind us? And it was also the same night of State of the Union. We were down in Cuba watching President Trump offer the State of the Union address and then our governor giving the rebuttal. So thinking to ourselves, I'm sure all of this is on their radar as well.
So you're back.
I'm back. I'm back. A lot going on in Jackson right now. It's been a busy week, an exciting week, some challenges. I did attend the city council meeting to simply listen to the residents and the coalition's concerns. I was very pleased that the city council delayed their vote on implementing new charges, new water charges for the lead copper pipeline replacement.
But eventually they will be voting.
They absolutely will need to do that at some point in time. Right now, we are being very aggressive. I'm very pleased at the progress the city council is making. Some from DEGL, again, the department that oversees this, they have told me personally that Jackson is in the forefront. They are being very aggressive and moving forward in a very quick manner. That's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. We need due diligence as we move forward, and these are difficult times. We all know that we want a safe, abundant, healthy supply of water. There's no doubt in any of that piece. But the final piece has to be affordability, and that's where we need to make sure that as we move forward, we're making the best decisions for everyone.
Yeah, my question right off the bat, what are the other communities doing? Because they're all in this pickle.
Yes, and I will say Jackson was one of the fastest moving on this issue. So some may not be as far along as we are. The state is not throwing anyone in jail yet if they do not have action taken. You need to be working with a plan. There are time frames in place. Everything, all of the information that I have received, the correspondence I have read, leads me to indicate that there is an understanding of due diligence, working towards making the plan, making sure it's a plan that's manageable and feasible. Last night, I went to Councilman Freddie Dancy had a meeting where they talked about tax foreclosures. Those individuals that own their own home, there are a lot of expenses and challenges in owning your own home. And one of them is your water expense if you're in the city.
Absolutely.
And this is an additional tax that is going to be placed on your water bill, a new fee on your water bill, I should say, not a tax, but a fee that's placed on your water bill. And in doing so, if someone's not able to pay that bill, ultimately they could lose their home because of it. No one wants that to happen. So we need to be cognizant of that as well.
So I don't know. I hear take it slow. Slow down.
There are a lot of conversations in Lansing going on right now also. You know, this was implemented by our previous governor. This was Governor Snyder's initiative. Governor Whitmer is now chiming in with some other thoughts and ideas. She's reaching out to EPA saying you should be following the model Michigan is taking. There are so many conversations going on in regard to this topic. We need to just be reflective of all of the options at this point in time.
Yeah. What about the $232 million, the cost? Their estimate, I should say.
Yeah. Many question why it's so high. I thought Patrick Birch did a good job explaining. He broke it down.
Very good presentation.
It was. It was very thorough, and I do appreciate that. The bottom line is other communities are just looking at that water line replacement. Here in our Jackson community, we're looking at many additional
jobs.
Pieces. Yep. Get. So we're looking at replacing the meters and with smart meters, and we're looking at, you know, repairing the roads, and those are basically the bigger reasons, the comprehensive piece that Jackson has added in to the cost is what ultimately makes it be so much higher than other communities.
And Julie, you've seen it before, a project this big, you've dealt with it in the county, you never know what you're going to find.
When you open that door, right?
Yeah.
With any project. So
you put that shovel in the ground.
Yeah. And then where are we going to get the employees to do the workers to do these jobs? And that's one of my concerns with the governor's proposal in her bonding for the state trunk lines. Where are these workers coming from? Are we already working at the highest capacity we can? We have to be cognizant of the fact that just because we put a plan or a program in place, what are the implications for the workload and our employees out there, our businesses out there? Are there enough businesses out there to be competitive with the price? Because if we don't have enough businesses providing the service of, again, replacing the lead pipelines, then the price is going to go up dramatically. Just basic supply and demand right there.
So what's your next step?
In regard to what?
Water. With,
already on that Wednesday.
Leitner and Shirky.
Yep. We wrote Shirky, Senator Shirky, Representative Leitner, and myself all wrote the city council a letter telling them it is still on our radar. We continue to be having conversations with Deagle. There was mention, the mayor made mention of some programs he's looking at for low-income families, and I did have some conversations already this week on Wednesday with individuals to better understand what he was looking at, and I'm just asking to be kept in the loop as we move forward with this. Looking at what other communities are doing, I think, is really important that you mentioned, Greg. So understanding what is going on around the state, maybe there are some ideas or concepts there. We're being very, we're definitely leaders here in our Jackson community. That just causes me to keep this on my radar even more so.
Were you surprised? I guess consumers, they really haven't served the city with a lawsuit, but they announced one very quickly.
You know,
without further, I guess, negotiating or.
Well, that, again, that's a conversation for them to figure out and work out. I just know that there's a state mandate that is significantly impacting our Jackson community, and I will continue to keep it on my radar and attend meetings, listening to the challenges. And I appreciate the councilman that reached out to me. I spoke with three city councilmen Tuesday during the day also, just asking them the questions, what information do you need? I am happy to be the liaison between the city council and the department. For those individuals that are not getting the information they need. And unfortunately, that happens on committees and boards. And in my opinion, it's my job to make sure everyone has the information they need to make an informed decision.
What about the budget?
Well, we're moving forward. I listened to your interviews with Rep. Leitner for the last 2 weeks, and she's very passionate and she's very knowledgeable on the budget. I'm grateful to
have. She's a talker.
I'm grateful to have her as a partner as we work towards breaking down each line item in the governor's budget. The biggest concern, obviously, is also the bonding proposal. Again, when we are reflective of the best road funding plan, we have to be cognizant of our local roads. And her plan obviously did not do that. So it's going to be exciting. You're going to see in the next few weeks the Senate, the House coming up with some ideas and plans to put a comprehensive plan in place to address these issues.
A road plan?
Yeah. Right now we're spending a lot of time just reprioritizing as legislators. Remember, there are 110 in the House and 38 in the Senate, and everyone has different priorities, and we need to be moving and working together. So understanding what each individual's priorities are, what those communities' priorities are, we need to be reflective of that.
How is the mood?
Well, yesterday was a challenging day with the Senate's vote to not place the individuals on the individual on the commission, on the Natural Resource Commission. A little tense there. I was not involved in that conversation, but just from what I've been reading, a little tensious there. Other than that, in the light of it being Valentine's Day, I will tell you that's right.
Good segue.
Yes, that the governor invited all of the female legislators to her residence on Tuesday. All of the women that serve in the House and in the Senate, both Republican and Democrat, were invited to her house for just a little
beer party,
short gathering. Oh, I think there may have been a glass of Michigan wine there or something.
Okay.
And soft drinks and some chocolate and cheese. So that was a very thoughtful gesture. She had done that the year before also. So
last Tuesday or this coming Tuesday?
Last Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so right before Valentine's Day. There were probably 30, 40 of us women that went. To me, if the governor is going to invite me to her residence, I'm going to go and be polite. I mean, again, it's about the relationships you build with people. You may not agree on a specific issue or topic, but we need to create those relationships so that we can continue moving the state forward. That's what I hear people back home are asking for.
So what's cooking next week?
Next week, back to a lot of policy issues, because we did not take any votes this week. There were some issues with the heating in downtown Lansing with some of the steam. A lot of meetings, sessions, floor votes were canceled. So it's going to be very, very busy. Full days. Committees are running at full speed because, again, now we're in the middle of February, and we just have another few short months to get some things done.
I found that interesting that Lansing started that lead replacement 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some communities have been much more proactive than others.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's so many challenges. I'll go back to, we need to be reflective of what the needs of the community are. There is no data out there that shows Jackson has high lead in their water. It's been tested over and over again. We know that Jackson has a very high lead rate, but it's because of the paint chips in our old homes, not because of the water in the pipelines. That does not mean we should not be cognizant of that. We should not continue to monitor it. Of course we should do that. But part of the challenge with city budgets, with county budgets, it's prioritizing where those dollars need to be spent.
So what are you doing today? Anything?
Yeah, it's a full day again. I had office hours on last Monday, and I will have office hours next Friday. But for today, I have a handful of individuals just asked to meet with me. So I will be out and about with scheduled meetings. Always appreciate that. By calling my office, 517-373-1795. My office staff can set you up with a personal meeting, and so you can share your concerns, and I can better understand what issues are affecting you.
Did you bring any sugar cane back from Cuba?
I did not bring sugar cane.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Greg, and happy Valentine's Day to you and your beloved.
State Rep. Julie Alexander.